Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, RFK Refugees Podcast, special Friday edition of the RFK Refugees Podcast. And with us today, John is, of course, here, but with us today is a very, very special guest, Andy Sullivan from the Washington Spirit. Andy, thank you for joining. We were trying to count the number of times you've been on the show, and I think we've just come to the conclusion it's a lot. So we thank you for continually coming on and giving us your thoughts.
Yeah, I was going to say not so special guests because maybe people are sick of hearing me, but
incorrect. Thank you for incorrect. Having me. Friend of the show is how we regard it.
See, you're on the show first time, you're acquaintance, second time, you're friend. Yeah, I think you're now on like dear friend level as far as this artist on the show.
I think one more time she gets an equity share. So we've got to be very careful here how we schedule these interviews.
Now we're talking.
Yeah. I thought.
Now we're talking.
Let's get started. It's not a lot. I want to kick it off here. I feel like every time we have talked, and there are many times, there's always been like an undercurrent of like, boy, there's lots of change. There's lots of tumult going on. And you've spoken in press conferences and availabilities. You're like, boy, it would just be cool if I could just play soccer for a little bit and just you know, focus on me a little bit. Understanding you're still a leader, but also just like, boy, that would be very cool. Despite, you know, there's changes again, but I feel like if changes could be predictable, these kind of feel like that. They feel like a natural change versus a hurried, like an emergency change. Do you feel the same weight on your shoulders that you felt in past years to be more than just you, or does this feel like a sort of a new or a continuation of a good thing?
Great question. It can be a mixed bag. I think sometimes, because of all the changes I've experienced, like almost the automatic response is like, oh my gosh, there's change. There must be catastrophe. I think like unlearning that a little bit has been, that's what this preseason has been for me, is like, okay, this is good change. And, I've really enjoyed it and, it's also been funny, having people come and say like, oh, what do we normally do? Or what is this like? And I'm like, you know, as well as I do, like, this is as new for me. So I think in that way, I feel like more comfortable, like I have no idea what's going on. And like, why would I expect to know what's going on? And that's been kind of fun for me. It's been very energizing. And so I think it's this balance of like, okay, I've been through a lot of change before, and I know how don't fully know how to handle it, but I know how to handle it better than I used to. So I think it's part of that. And also that, like you said, it's all very good or normal change. I hope that makes sense.
It does. I think if you ask Chelsea players, like, it's one thing to have new managers every year. It's another thing for there to seem to be like at least new philosophical leanings for why the next person's hired in like a long term. So from the outside, it looks like, even though this is your 7,000th coach, it does feel like you're like, all right, well, there has been a lot of thought behind this. He's on a long-term contract. Knock on wood, next year we'll have the way that things went last year, and we'll do it again this year. So that's all good.
Yes.
Andy, I wanted to maybe take a quick step. I know we're talking about change. We're talking about the new year, but I wanted you to kind of see if you could maybe reflect a little bit on the 2023 season. It was certainly a big year for you. You made the World Cup roster, got to participate in that. I know the games didn't necessarily go the way out by an inch, I think is a good way to call it. But I wonder if you could sort of reflect on that 2023 season, and you know, is anything about that sort of driving you in 2024 to either to improve, to get better, you know, to have a successful year with the Spirit?
That, I don't know if I've done a lot of deep reflection on 2023 because it has, like you guys said, it was kind of a lot of big accomplishments, but also kind of painful. So I don't know if I've had a lot of deep reflection to come out, but I think that's also kind of, in terms of motivations for the future, I'm definitely highly motivated for 2024 and beyond. And I think part of that is due to 2023 and the experiences I've had. And it's also part to the changes that are occurring at the Spirit. I feel that's also like last year I signed a longer term deal because I'm like, this is where I can not just grow, but my mindset is kind of shifting towards like, okay, I don't want to just grow and evolve. Like I want to not just like continue improving, but I really want to level up. And I don't know where that's coming from necessarily. Is it coming from like the World Cup heartbreak, or is it coming from kind of the strong start and like really tough finish of the Spirit season in 2023? I don't really know where it's coming from, but yeah, definitely feeling highly motivated, but not sure from where.
I think it's a good way to be. It's like looking forward, but not having to dwell on the past to be motivated by it. I think it's probably the most healthy. That's probably the most healthy way to use your disappointments to fuel your future. Do you want to, let's step into 2024 now that we are fully focused on the future and living in it. How have things been so far in preseason? We have poked a little bit of fun at the fact that trying to do any predictions is normally challenging in NWSL. It's even more challenging when there are no games and there are no scores and there we're just, I don't know, seems like we're great. First place. That's our prediction. How's it gone?
Everybody's like, we're going to win. Obviously, yep. That's what everyone says at the beginning of every year.
Yep.
But it's been great. It's been a really great preseason. Obviously, the Spirit, we went on two separate like warm weather trips. The first one, we were in California for about 2 weeks. Well, I should rewind. The first week, we were in the facility doing like physicals, all the testing, that type of baseline type of stuff. And then we went to California for 2 weeks. Adrian didn't get here until kind of like the end of those 2 weeks. So that was kind of a really interesting time because things were going well, but it was almost like, it's too chill. Like it's, you know, we're working hard. We're doing like our interim coaches were amazing. Obviously Mike Bristol, Mommy, Ema. Like the sessions were really good and enjoyable, but we're kind of like, we need something. And then Adrian came and kind of has been amazing. And kind of given us just a little more direction, because obviously he's very well connected with Jonah. So I think the first few weeks were kind of like the coaches that we had were like laying the groundwork so that when Adrian got there, we could like really take off. And I think that trajectory was actually really helpful because I think in other preseasons, like you come out too fast and then you burn out. And it was kind of like this very good build to get everyone on the same page so that we could work better together. I don't know how intentional that was, but it was amazing. And then since Adrian's been here again, like a lot of work, a lot of information, but I really like enjoy the way that he teaches and sees like the game and like the structure, but also the flexibility that we're gonna have. So it's been really positive. And again, I think you guys mentioned like, okay, these coaches have committed for a long term. It seems like we got it right. So I also recognize like it's gonna take a while and it's like this is just the beginning. So it's, again, a time filled with a lot of work, but also a lot of hope.
I want to follow up and say congratulations to the Spirit for picking warm weather climates that are not for their preseason that don't cause fan protests. So that was good. You guys picked good spots for that. That's, you know, it could have gone another way, and it went a good way for you guys. Paige and Lena.
Like, it's hard?
Right. Yeah. You know, it's there's lots of warm places that don't cause that. Anyway, yeah. You know. Listen to our previous podcast for our thoughts on that. Paige and Lena did Press Avail a couple weeks ago, and I was sort of making fun of the fact that how'd the game go that we didn't see, and they're obviously sort of like, well, you know, it was good, but Paige had an answer that was, I thought, interesting. I want to see your opinion on it too. She's like, it's very useful to have closed door friendlies with no scores reported and anything else when you're trying to figure things out, when you're doing something new, and it's not a matter of like, you know, the eyes are on results. I also said, well, boy, isn't it a good thing you're not starting Challenge Cup again. So then you're starting at 150 miles per hour versus, you know, crawling up to speed. Do you feel like there's a value in those sort of protected environments as you're figuring things out?
Yeah, absolutely. I think especially for, you know, newer players, because obviously I have been through a few preseasons where it's like you can maybe do great in preseason and then things kind of change a little bit. and to know like that's, you don't want to come again too hot out of the gate. Like you have to have this kind of foundation. But I think also, I think it's good for the, like, the coaches and just like the general quelling of the storm. Like, yes, these obviously games are important, but again, it's like these results are not the be all end all. And I think it's been fun for me to see that, like, in the moment, how competitive and heated we get as like a team. It's just who we are, and probably all teams across the league are this way. But then when we watch our film back, we're like, oh, we applied so many of the things that we trained this week. Like, and we succeeded when we did those things. And so to be able to kind of have that in a protected way, I think helps keep the focus where it needs to be. And hopefully it keeps the excitement for like the actual games even higher.
But congrats on your 30-yard screamer that you hit and that, yeah, that went through the net.
I heard you had a hat trick.
So you're right. Three of them. You're right.
I'm fine with a hat trick rumor. I'll put that into the universe, manifest it.
Exactly. It's an interesting situation, obviously, for 2024. You know, obviously, you've talked a lot about how I want to make sure I get it right, and apologize. It's Adrian Gonzalez, I believe, right? I got that right? Okay, yeah. Good. I want to make sure I get that right. But obviously, the team will have a new permanent coach in Jonathan Giraldez, who will come, I think, around June, is what we've heard, once his European job wraps up. Has there been any, I'm just curious, has there been any type of communication with him? I know he's probably busy also coaching another team. So coaching two teams, probably not as easy, despite what Football Manager tells me. Has he been communicating? Has he been talking about what he wants to see out of the team? Or is it basically just been all the interim's job?
It's basically been all the interim's job. Obviously, when Jonah was announced, the team got on a group Zoom call and were able to speak to him. But honestly, the message from him was like, I'm really focused on Barcelona, and you'll be in good hands with Adrian, and, you know, I'll be in communication with him. But, you know, I need to like honor my commitments and finish out the season strong with him or with his team. So we haven't really like heard from him much other than that. But obviously, I know him and Adrian speak probably daily. I don't know how much, but they've obviously worked together before and seem to know each other really well. And honestly, it's been so, I'm viewing Adrian as my coach. Like, I'm not like, oh, who's this like temporary person? Like, he is fully prepared to be a head coach, and he's acting like the head coach, and he's teaching us like the head coach. So to me, he is my head coach. And so it's almost like when Jonah comes here, it's like, okay, we're just going to level up and have two head coaches who work in sync with each other and understand each other. So, but yeah, like, I don't really feel like I know anything about, everyone's talking about how amazing Jonah is, and obviously his resume speaks for itself, and how like he seems great from the short conversation I had with him. But yeah, I've just been really like listening to what Adrian says, pretty much.
That's, I guess, good to hear. I know they've talked a lot about how the connection they have, so I'm sure that bodes well, very well, for the future, as far as the coaching staff being in harmony. So I'm sure you've been involved in several situations where maybe it hasn't been that way. So
it's not as fun to be a Barcelona fan right now on the internet. A woman, just based on what we're doing and what Hey Spirits are doing and what all of the Spirit fans are doing, basically, we've got your coach. And boy, it sure seems like they expanded the number of international roster spots we have available now in 2024. And man, it looks like someone's teasing international signings going on. And boy, I wonder if they're going to try to wait till the summer to make just real sad times, I think, for Barcelona fans. They just should just put your head down, get to 2025, and then we'll leave you guys alone. But I think the raid may be coming. We'll see. But speaking of,
dear, we'll see.
Yeah, well, I don't want to. Yeah, no comment, I think, is the way to go with that. I'm sure. So let's talk. You know, it's early days again. No games to have seen, but tactics are sort of a question. I think last year there was Mark Parsons had a style he wanted you guys to play, and you did that. And I think there were some players that spoke about how that suited their game, and I think there were some players that, without saying so, maybe saying it didn't suit their game and maybe didn't suit some of the strengths of the roster. I'm sure that the conversation between Jonah and Adrian has been like, all right, we're time to work on tactics now, even before I get here. We're going to have a style of play. what can fans expect this year? What's different? What do we expect to see out of the cast of characters from last year mostly?
That's a good question. What can we expect to see? I would just say just a little bit more patience and build out, which was a possibility for us in the past, but we didn't necessarily like utilize, especially when our backs were against the wall. And I think this year we're going to be willing to put more risk in order to grow. So like, even if our backs are against the wall, we're going to be trying things. Like, we're going to be trying a lot of different things in order to solve problems and having that versatility. And I think the versatility in the tactical structure will help us as well, where we'll have players who are going to be able to utilize their strengths in a variety of spaces. That's like as specific as I want to be.
That's I don't know
if that helps at all. But
we'll take it. Tell me what we won't see. Tell me we will not see Aubrey and two center backs lined up in a single line on the six for goal kicks. Are you seeing that? Is that going to continue? That's going to continue. It's going to happen, isn't it?
We'll let you know. We'll let you know if Laura Harvey donates to our Patreon to listen to this episode. We'll be sure.
That's the new innovative way for scouting NWSL is to become our Patreon. I like it. I support it. I think that's great. League, do that. I think that you should definitely do that.
I guess next question. I know we're trying not to dive too deep into personal life, but obviously it's hard to ignore that your partner has returned to the area. So I guess, has that been something that's been good to see? Obviously a lot of fans over here in DC love, hey man, hey, we've all been in long-term relationships. I'm sure there are times when it's like, hey, you know what? I really wish actually you were back in Colorado for a little bit, just for the next hour or so. Like, I'm sure it's been good, but how's that been to have him back? You guys, carpooling out to Loudoun United for training. And
it's been amazing to have him back. Honestly, the decision for him to go to Colorado was actually like very difficult. But it was like such a great opportunity for him at the time. And I was kind of like, I'm going to potentially be gone a lot this year. So like, if there's any time to do it, now's the time. And I would hate for you to like look back on your career and like wish that you had gone. Because like he had played for the coach and the coaches before, he had some friends on the team. It was just like kind of a good opportunity. And he was like, he went and he was like, this is going to be my last year and then I'm going to be done. And then as the year wore on, he like, it's happened several times before where he's like, I'm going to be done. And then he's like, he's such a great player, that I, you know, I don't even know if I should have said that. I'm just thinking like, would he want me to say that? Colorado was actually really amazing because they just agreed to terminate his contract so that he could come back here and play for Loudoun. And so I'm like so eternally grateful to those coaches and staff out there. They were always really good to me when I was able to go visit them. And to like let him come back to Loudoun. So now he's back. It's been amazing. Last year was obviously like not as fun. But it's been funny being in preseason because it's like his team went on a preseason trip. My team went on a couple trips. So we were still kind of, you know, ships in the night a little bit. But obviously compared to being apart for months at a time, it's infinitely better. The dog is back as well, so also infinitely better. But yeah, it's been fun. They're obviously at the facility where we are with DC United as well, a good amount of time. which is fun for me. And it's funny to see like other people's reactions to him being around. Like I'll be like doing my own stuff and they'll be like, Andy. And I'm like, yeah, what's up? And they're like, Drew's right there. I'm like, I got you guys. Like, I saw him this morning and I'll see him this afternoon when you get home. But for us, it's like pretty normal and pretty great. So it's amazing the effect that he has on like my well-being. And I'm sure fans are like happy for us. And I'm like, I hope they see it pay off on the field where I'm like playing better because he's home. But yeah, I'm excited to go to his games. He's excited to come to mine when we can, although we've like, again, ships in the night for the first month. Cause they were away last weekend when we got home from our preseason trip. And then their home openers this weekend were away. And then when they're away for our home opener. So it's like, it's just funny. But again, it's not boring. So I'm enjoying it. And I think he is too.
Yeah. I was going to say is I think we need some, I think we need some Andy Sullivan, Drew Skundrich, Instagram content. Cause I'm sorry, Ashley Hatch and her husband are just killing it right now.
They are. Okay. I would never even attempt to compete on a couple level with Ashley Hatch and Jeff Van Buren. Like, it's just not even, they're epic. So amazing. So cute. Yeah, I'm not, what would the Andy Sullivan, Drew Skundrich content even be?
We gotta workshop it. This is a perfect opportunity. There are no bad ideas. We do it a different time on your fourth time in the show. That'll be more blue sky thinking about your Instagram strategy.
Open to suggestions because otherwise it would just be a lot of me laying on the couch saying, look how cute the dog is.
That works. Hey,
dog, people love that. Dog content. People love the dog content. Let me tell you.
Okay. Tell you. I can up the dog and up the Drew content, I suppose.
One last Drew related question. I want to make sure that he knows this. There's speculation that he's aware of this. There is a message board that we are a part of that Drew did an ad for salads, I think. I'm not really sure what the company was, and it is used as like whenever something good happens or something funny happens, everyone just uses the picture of Drew eating the salad as like a response thing. Is he aware of that? Does he know that he is internet famous due to this salad ad that he did? If he doesn't, he does now, right?
No, and I'm not either. Can you send it to me?
I will. I'll send it to you.
We will.
It's great.
No.
It's great. It's wonderful.
That man loves salads, though. So
it's good that then it's good. It's a good pairing. Then that's good. All right.
I would love to like. I want to see obviously the image that's being used, but I also want to see like in reference to what.
Sure.
I want to see like some context.
I'll try. I'll provoke it. I'll provoke a salad emoji response. Like something. I'll make it happen. I'll figure that out.
Thank you.
So
wow.
Yeah. No, it's great. I just wanted to make sure that that was out of the rumor and into reality. That's the power I have, and I want to use it for good. Okay, so Spirit fans had a bit of a freak out on draft day, I think somewhat understandably. Big trades happened.
Yeah.
You know, obviously we knew a lot of first-round draft picks were incoming, but that can go really well, which it has has in the Spirit in the past with a bunch of first-round draft picks that turn a team into an eventual championship, a champion winner. And then sometimes the players are not fit for the scheme, they don't work out, there's injuries, whatever, that happens. That's sports. But from our perspective, and everyone's sort of like, you know, the spine of the team, you accepted Sam Staub, Iron Woman, never missed a minute, is being replaced and figuring out how to work around that. Ashley Sanchez, a player who had been an attacking spark for since she's been here, pretty much since day one. What of the young players, obviously it's a lot to put on their backs to replace two NWSL best 11 U.S. national team playing World Cup rostered players in one season. Which of the new players that are coming in do you feel like, and this is somewhat of a hard question, but who do you think is ready to jump in on day one? Who do you think is most pro ready as we approach the start of the season? Obviously people are going to have some run up and some chance to grow and they're never the finished product, but who do you like? All right. You were fully cooked here in college. You're ready to go.
Yeah. I like want to talk about like
everybody.
Obviously, my love for Sam Staub and Ashley Sanchez, and how amazing it was, like, being both their teammates and how, like, fortunately, unfortunately, I've also, like, been through that before. Because I think in the moment, everyone was surprised, like you said, like, shock on draft day, and, like, myself included. And, but also, like, again, I've experienced that over the years, even, like, after my first season. And that's just, like, hard. It's just hard because, obviously, you just, like, love those players. You love playing for them. You, like you said, both tremendous impacts on the Spirit. And, like, that, I just don't want that to ever be, like, forgotten before I start talking about how excited I am to play with these new teammates that I have. So just wanted to say that, like, the love and the appreciation I have for them, obviously, as so many fans do. And I think they're both going to do, like, incredible on their new teams. So it's weird to be playing against them, but also rooting for them, but also want to crush them. It's just a very interesting dynamic. But in terms of new players who I think are ready, I just think that our team did a really, really, really incredible job with their draft picks and their, like, invitees and all the players that we signed. Even from the first few days of preseason, there was one player I was like, she's good. Like, she is going to be really good, and I'm really excited for her. I honestly think they're all, like, ready to play, which I think is exciting. And I think with the competitiveness and the versatility of our team, like, they're all going to be competing and in the mix. I think Hal was, like, the player I was like, oh, that girl, like, is doing some things that I really like to see. Croy is no joke.
Okay, good.
Yeah, no joke. And honestly, I'm just going to talk about all of them.
I thought you might. That's okay.
That was my joke. Courtney Brown, I have really enjoyed, like, watching. I think she does some things that I think are really dangerous and versatile. Really enjoyed her. McKenna Morris could play, like, anywhere on the field and do well. Who else? There's Heather, who, again, I was watching her in preseason and she wasn't drafted. And I think that's all we've always, like, obviously we know you guys talked about Paige earlier in the podcast, where it's like you go from an undrafted player to someone who, like, plays a ton and is a starter or whatever. And, like, Heather has all those tools. And Kate Wiesner is so solid. Sorry, I'm thinking from a, I'm just going to give you a little spoiler from our scrimmage. She's jacked, first of all, so strong. But she got fouled and was, like, laying, like, kind of face down on the ground. And, like, you could tell it was, like, a strong tackle. And she, like, took a deep breath and then did a closed fist push-up to get up. Like, she's so strong. Great, like, great with both feet. So, like, all of them, I think I hit all signings. Right?
I think you did. And if you didn't, it's not a slight if we didn't. We'll go back and check.
Yeah.
So Kate is taking the reins of Paige Nielsen bicep. Like, we have a new the body. Is what you're saying.
A little less flaunty. By
got it.
A little, I mean a lot, because Paige is the most flaunty. And she wouldn't mind me saying that about her, because right. I would say it to her constantly. But yeah, Wheezy is strong. Yeah.
Give her some time. You know, she might be trying to think, how do I raise my profile? And there might be a Twitter account soon. Who knows?
I'll send her some Paige content and I'll see.
There you go. What do you think about Instagram. This?
What do you think about upgrading your bicep content for the fans?
I want to shift maybe a little bit to NWSL, I guess, as a whole, the thought process of the Gotham, what they did this offseason, basically taking a look at the free agent list and grabbing them all. There were some that didn't, obviously. I know the Spirit definitely signed at least one free agent, but
this was the first attempt. Yes, there were two. This was the first attempt at, like, building super team via the free agent mechanism, which is still relatively new. So, you know, not that the Spirit have ever been light of high profile players. That's certainly not, but at least in the last, you know, 4 or 5 years, it's not been a problem. True. But this is, I wouldn't want to say it's another level, but it's certainly something. They won the championship and then they reloaded in a way that had never been done before. What's the general league, the players vibe of watching that happen? Is it exciting? Is it something else?
I think it's definitely exciting for free agency. And like, I don't, when I see, well, first of all, I also admire Yael Averbush West so much. So just from her, like, as a player, as a leader in the league, as a person, so her, seeing her do that as a GM, I'm like, okay, like go off. Like, you can recruit all these players to your team. Like, that's cool. Good for you. And so at the same time, I'm like, good for them. But at the same time, I'm like, I still see that roster and I think like it's exciting, but I'm not, yes, they just won the championship and they've gotten all these great free agents who I've played with and are all, I would love to have on my team. But I'm also like, we're going to
beat them.
We're going to beat them. Like, we're like, we are, you know what I mean? So it's, I can't wait to crush them and like battle them because it's going to be a good battle. So I think it's exciting for free agency. And I don't think that, like, I don't think anyone's afraid of it either as from the player's perspective. Like, no one's like, oh, they have such an advantage or anything. Like, we'll see how they all play together. We'll see. They also had a really strong roster. So like, where are those pieces going to fit together? But yeah, it is crazy when you list the players on their team. But we'll see how it goes.
I have to imagine too. It's an exciting thing even for players under contract, because there's now, you know, real competition in the free agency market. It helps, you know, your current NWSL teams be like, you know, we want to make sure you stay here. So, you know, we're going to offer that contract. You know, too many times in the NWSL, it was 1 year contracts or several players. You know, you were lucky if you had a multi-year deal. So I imagine that changing landscape is a positive even for the players who aren't in that free agency.
Definitely. Way to go. Way to go, NWSLPA, right?
Yeah, seriously. I was just talking to some of the new signee players about something like appearance wise. And they're like, oh, like we get to do this. I'm like, yeah, and you can thank your PA for that, you know? And they were like, the PA is great. I was like, yeah. So I'm glad that everyone's on the same page about the PA.
The Gotham are going to get the United Spirits treatment, I think, when international windows come around. So I don't know how excited they're going to be when that happens.
And that's like, that's something that we, you know, lived and experienced. And I think that was also slightly different too, because I think with our team, it was like, and I'm sure we've seen this across many years, where it's like a team that's doing really well consistently in the league, like all of a sudden they get more players called into the national team because they're like showing well. So I feel like our United Spirits kind of was like, oh, our team is doing really well, and because our team is doing really well, more players are getting recognized as having, because also the flip side can happen. You can have a player that's national team caliber and kind of the team is struggling, and so like they are struggling and then they don't get called into camps, and like that's really tough too. But obviously the Gotham approach is like, okay, who's on the national team that's a free agent? Let's go get them. Obviously I don't know if that's their actual approach. Maybe it's different and more thoughtful than that, and I'm sure it is, but from the outside looking in, that's probably what it looks like.
Yael just went on FIFA. She's like, all right, let me look at this national team roster list. Who's
I'll
free?
Take that player. And
that one. I'm shopping. That's all. Well, they're all good.
But I also think that can be challenging because when you have a lot of players gone, it like can feel like almost two different teams, or it can be hard to have a lot of players managing like that extra load. So yeah, I'm curious. I wish everyone well, obviously not as well as I wish my team, but I'm curious to see how it goes. I think it'll be interesting.
Now I get to be a full-throated booster for Sam Staub for the national team. I was always somewhat in reserve because I was like, we just cannot have any more players go. We just, there's no more. I'm sorry, Sam. You're at the end of the list. It just didn't work out for you. It's not your fault. This question is perfect for you. I've been excited to ask you this question because I asked you questions before about spirit jersey color thoughts. So this is related. What is your thought on the new color scheme? I am personally, my skin tone does not work well with highlighter yellow, so I will not be getting that. I assume there are some players who have similar complexions to me, I have a bit of a pink hue, so it's not for me. I'm more of a jewel tone guy. What's your thought on the highlighter? I've not seen them in person yet, so this is your secondhand. What are your thoughts on the colors?
I would love to say I love your own awareness and description of your color tones. Super impressed by that. So good on you. For me with the yellow, I like them. I really like like you're saying highlighter yellow. The top yellow is like not really highlighter. And I really, 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 really like that color. Even though I don't think it looks great on me, to be honest, I don't know. I can't describe my colors that way, my color tones that way, but.
I'll send you my colorist, Andy.
Yes. but I'm not typically much of a yellow person, but I really, really like the top yellow. I am bummed that it's described as like the bottom gradient color. I'm bummed that it's like more highlighter yellow than it is. Like, I think I really like it in general, but I wish that it was more of like the same color family. But overall, like, I really like the yellow. I really like the yellow and the black. And like, I'm excited about it. It's definitely like my favorite, like last year was probably my favorite kits, the black especially, but it was just a black kit and a white kit. It was very like simple, so it's hard to go wrong, but it was my favorite kit of probably all the spirit kits that I've gotten to wear. And so now this is definitely like an upgrade for me. Like, I really like both kits. I think the black looks really cool, especially with the kind of like bluish grayish column-y stripes. I thought that was really, really cool because obviously we've had like different stripes on all the jerseys. So to me, I'm like, okay, we have the vertical / kind of horizontal stripe play, but it looks more architecturally like the city. And I thought that was really, really well done. And I'm excited about the yellow because I think it portrays like energy. And that's something that, again, we've talked a lot about, like newness and hope and like, sorry, this sounds so like cheesy, but like new to me, it's like new dawn, new day. And I really like that aspect of the yellow and also like the brightness of it and the fact that it's like changing color. So I really like them. You can get a black one if you don't feel like the yellow is good.
I think that might be my move. We talk about how the colors look on the players because on DC United, Matty Peltola is pretty much the same shade as the away jersey, unfortunately for him. So it's like active camouflage situation that he's got. So that's kind of cool. But they should think about that as just an advantage move.
That is something that I'll say about our training kits. Again, they're this really nice, like slate-ish blue-gray color. Again, which I really like the color, but watching on film, when we watch like our practices back, we almost blend in with the grass at times. So like the color looks great, but there is a camouflage problem. So
there will be no Spygate.
Camouflage in many,
right.
Yeah. Many forms of camouflage.
As someone who is an opponent to the color situation, because the black and yellow reminds me of a certain team in Pennsylvania and a hockey team in particular that also wears black and yellow. I am starting to grow on the highlighter yellow. It looks different enough that it gives it its own little, you know, unique identity.
So. And we need to respect Andy's comment that it is not, in fact, solely highlighter yellow. It is a gradient of yellows. And if we're to be nice about it, we could talk about the top yellow, which is less highlighter.
Yes.
So we'll do that from now on.
You don't have to be extra nice.
I have to be.
You can be neutral or as objective as you.
That's right. It's my journalistic oath to be as accurate about highlighter colors as possible. I'm very serious about it.
I think the last question, we do have some listener questions we'll look to get into. So appreciate you staying on for this, but you've been wonderful. Recent news dropped. There is a new International Cup competition coming, CONCACAF Women's Champions Cup. I'm not sure if you've had a chance to hear about that, but it's coming in 2024. It's something, I guess, like, you know, we talk about on the men's side, there's a lot of talk about amount of games, amount of tournaments, amount of leagues, but I always feel like there's, and again, this is the fan of me speaking. I don't play the game or have to go out there for 90 minutes, obviously. But I'm curious your perspective. It does feel like there's maybe a lack of these types of tournaments. So is this something you're excited about? Or are you kind of saying, it's already starting to crowd up the calendar a little bit. I only have but so much, so.
I'm laughing because this is you guys were like, oh yeah, I'm sure you know about this, and I don't know a lot about it. And that's been happening to me a little more lately, and I'm thinking, I'm like, okay, Mike, I talked to earlier about like wanting to evolve, and part of my goals are to like stress less and no like be
you're living in the moment by not knowing this tournament. I like that.
Exactly.
And, you know, we talked about, like, players asking me stuff. I'm like, what's going on? I'm just like, yeah, I don't know. I go where they tell me, and it will be fine. Don't worry. And I think that's, again, partly growth, that, like, I feel like things are secure, and I don't have to know everything because it's not on my shoulders to solve the problems. So, again, I think that's partly growth, but also growth of the team and the organization that's enabling me to do that. And the same thing happened for the first look event. I ran into a season ticket holder at a Loudon event, and they were like, oh, I'll see you on March 11th at Audi for the first look. And I was like, oh,
okay. Sounds good.
I was like, they haven't told us that, but I'm sure I'll be there. if you say that I'm supposed to be there, I'll be there. So back to your original question about the tournament. Who are we playing? What's happening?
So the CONCACAF is basically starting a Champions League, a Champions Cup. So there are going to be matches against, I think that I have to go back and look at the format, but it's
there, you know, are four US spots. There are four. Yeah. There are four, okay. US spots, not yet determined. So this is like, just so you don't feel bad. This came out like 48 hours ago.
Yeah, 2 days ago. Okay. So just the idea of having, you know, more international competition, I think is something that I've wanted to see for a while. So I'm just, as a fan, as somebody who likes, this is like why I love this game, is there are so many opportunities to watch, you know, other clubs play against other teams around the world. It's what makes the sport fun. So,
go ahead. Sorry.
No, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, Andy is supportive. We had talked about this before. I think Andy almost felt like she was getting in trouble a couple times, maybe the first time when we were talking about the Challenge Cup. And she was like, you know, I don't really think, you know what, it's fine. But we talked about what we should do instead of that. And there was like an Open Cup variant that we were talking about. And this is like, this is another direction of that, particularly since the men's team is, the men's side has decided the Open Cup is verboten. This is a new thing. This is good. This is an opportunity to grow the game and, you know, all those things.
I do think, I'm curious, like, so you said four U.S. spots. How are they picking the four?
I think they've actually, it's the Shield. Oh, I saw it was the championship winner last year, the Shield winner. And then
whoever has the most yellow jersey, I think, is the last spot. So you guys are in.
Yeah, it might be the Challenge Cup winner. I think they're still determined. This literally, like you said, came out 48 hours ago.
Hot off the presses.
You know, okay. The idea of it is to create a Champions Cup, you know, between all the other leagues. And I think it's a cool idea. So I'm excited to watch it.
Yeah, I think it's cool. I think it was 2022. It was either.
It was 2022. You're talking about the International Champions Cup that.
Where we were supposed to go play. Yeah. And that was a bummer to not do. And I remember a lot of players, like, when we found out that we weren't doing it, we're like really, really upset. Because again, like, there's all this talk about like comparing leagues and teams, or like, like wondering like, oh, maybe do I like want to play abroad one day? Or like, how do I compare to those teams? Or like, maybe there's a lot of players like going to Mexico to play, and like just kind of opening eyes and doors and in all directions, like players to come to the NWSL, like players to leave the NWSL. And I think it's exciting. I think it'll be fun. And I think it's also, I'm assuming that it's like during a time of a major tournament that's happening. Which that's because that seems like a good idea, because it's also been hard because we just talked about Gotham. It's like, let's say they have how many players going to the Olympics potentially. Like, obviously that's something you have to plan for, but then it's tough. Like, we'll have to
revisit. When you guys win the NWSL championship, that'll be our first topic of discussion next year about playing in that tournament and going up against Tigres and Club America.
It can also be hard. Like you said, like, I don't know. I think people think like, oh, it's just another game. Like, and you would do that anyway. But it's like the emotional and like physical toll that it takes to like prep for those things. So I wonder what mind space will be in when those come, because sometimes you're like, this is so cool. I'm so pumped for this like game that like has kind of like, it's just a cool opportunity and fun. But then it's also, that can be hard when you're exhausted and you have so much to compete for that has like implications for your team. So, I think it will be cool. I don't know that much about it, but obviously I think that will be fun. But hopefully I have enough, like competitive, you'll always find a way, but you don't want it to be at the expense of succeeding in the league.
Yeah. It might look a little different if you've had to travel to Seattle, then midweek, you got to fly to Mexico City. So I can imagine that might change the attitude a little bit.
Yeah. I just want to see NWSL teams show MLS teams how to get results in Mexico after like 10 years of not being able to do that. That would be very cool. That would be a feather in your cap. So some of the fan questions we already got answered, because that's how this goes, because we had this is a 46 minute conversation. So we've gotten into a bunch of different stuff. Thanks again for all your time, Andy. So this is from Nature Ed. Patreons get first crack at questions, and this is one of those. He asked three questions, which I'm only going to give one of them, I think. Which players on the team do you think have the greatest versatility to play multiple positions? And sub-question on that, how's Anna looking as a founding member of the Helferty Hive on the internet? I really want to – she's off her SEI, so I'm curious how she's doing. So first – and you mentioned Hal too. I'm very curious because I haven't seen these players that are new or coming back. The Swiss Army knives are the most useful on this club. It seems like there's always a value of that. So
– yeah.
Who's the most Swiss of the Swiss Army knives?
I mentioned McKenna Morris as Swiss Army knife for sure. I'm trying to think. And then you brought up Anna. Anna looks awesome. I like, I love playing with Anna, and I think she looks freaking great. So I'm really excited to see her back out on the field for a game. And she, I think, could also be in that Swiss Army knife category. Mm-hmm. Those would be my top two. Let me think. I'm like running through things in my mind. I think that's a good answer. I'm gonna stick with it.
Well, I will include one more of their three questions.
Okay.
This sort of goes with your thinking about living in the moment, but also sort of like up leveling where you're at. Have you started to think about, and you're still have a lot of playing career, so this is not to imply this, because that's how that question usually gets heard. Have you started to think about life after playing? Have you started to think about what you want? Do you want to stay in the game? Do you want to do completely different things? Have you started to think about that at all?
It's definitely something I think about in a way that's like, oh my gosh, like, what am I gonna do? because I have no idea. But I think it's hard for me to imagine doing something that's not tied to the game. Just because I feel like that's what I know best, and don't know a lot about a whole lot else. But I also, I'm curious if I'll want to live the lifestyle that I've lived kind of for this amount of time. Like, I think when you're an athlete, you pine for what like would be maybe a more normal schedule or more normal life. Obviously there are pros and cons to the life that I have, versus the more like normal 9-to-5 Monday through Friday situation. So I don't know if I will really, if I stay in the game, it would kind of, especially like at a pro level, It would kind of mirror just all day, every day, at any time, travel constantly, situation. So I have no idea. Any suggestions or any?
I do have one actually for you. Okay. I do have one. You have been my, and I'm not just blowing smoke because you're on here today. You've been on a lot. You have been my favorite doing this. You have a skill at this, and you also are the best. I don't want to put anyone else aside, but I won't say best. You're great at being the selected speaker at the press conferences. And anytime you get a hand grenade thrown in your lap about either a controversial or challenging issue, you always handle it extremely well. So the pay is horrible to be a podcaster, but if you wanted to do it, I think you would be amazing at it. Just throwing that out there.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you. That is always an option. I appreciate the compliment. Unfortunately, the more you do it, the better you get at it. So if there, I hope there are no more hand grenades, no. You say, but if there are, I'll probably be the one to handle them.
All right. Andy, thank you so much for joining us. You've been, it's a pleasure to have you on the show. You've been awesome, and I can't wait for our listeners to hear it. I don't know if I have anything you have you want to plug. I don't know if I know you're just a soccer player.
Her Instagram content, her new Instagram program.
Please submit what you would like to see, or any continuing education job opportunities for my post career. You want me to consider?
Yeah. All right.
Send Andy all the salad emojis. Make that happen to everybody on the internet.
Yeah, I need to see the salad.
I tried to see if I could paste it in our chat. Unfortunately, I can't. But
can you send it to we'll Sam take care Pittman? Of it.
Oh, we'll take care. We'll take care of it. We'll get it. We'll get it to you. Trust me.
I need to see this urgently. Drew's gonna think it's hilarious.
All right, Andy. Thank you, Andy, so much for joining us. And we will catch you guys. We got a lot of content coming. Previews, content, written content coming to the site. Thank you guys so much for listening. We'll catch you guys next listening on Monday. Vamos.
Vamos.
Thank you for listening to RFK Refugees Podcast. Make sure you rate and review the show wherever you download podcasts. If you want to support the show, consider joining our Patreon or subscribing to our channel on Twitch. Lastly, make sure you're following us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Threads, YouTube, Twitch, Goals.tv, Friendster, MySpace, and Tumblr. Some of those are even real. Vamos.